change after the storm. Little did you think that you would be doing this in 2005. We will now present another organization. The Tulane Xavier National Center of Excellence in Women's Health was also another organization that actually completely changed after the storm. We have nothing to disclose. The Tulane Xavier National Center of Excellence in Women's Health was one of 12 centers of excellence in women's health across the nation designated by the Department of Health and Human Services. And this is a picture from when the federal government came down and site visited us just in front of our building 2 years before Hurricane Katrina. We had a clinic, multi-specialty clinic for women that was newly renovated on the first floor. We had 8 different practitioners and nurse practitioners working. We had services from a wide spectrum, from social work to endocrinology, rheumatology, family medicine, OBGYN, and psychiatry. And we did extensive community outreach as a part of our mission and health fairs around the city. And we also had a leadership development program for women in the community and had different events around the community. We have also been sought out. This is from a team from Taiwan coming and visiting the National Center of Excellence, wanted to talk to us about the model of care, the model of integrating research, clinical service and outreach and professional development, because they wanted to do the same in Taiwan. Started going there in several years ago, and they have now 2 women's health centers in Taiwan modeled after our National Center of Excellence. So this is the Art Deco building that we had taken a picture in 2003, and this is how the same street looked like in 2005 when we had 4 feet of water, and you see the brown building at the end just before the bridge there. That was the women's center. So this is then a sunrise after the hurricane taken in the Ninth Ward. And one of the things that was very strange when we were all displaced was not only the loss, but also what do you do, particularly when you have federal funded grants, where actually it is a federal felony to cash in money and your salary of your staff while you're, you know, so how do you have a thing going that is funded by the federal government when you are physically not there? So within the storm hit the 29th, on a Monday, within Saturday, I knew where all the staff were. And we had started then talking on the phone and so on. And within the September 15th, we had a virtual center up and running where we actually worked online. I had staff in 6 different states and we worked 3 days a week. In the beginning, the staff was a little apprehensive, felt that I was a cruel boss that actually forced them to work when they were displaced. When they understood that we were going to be displaced for a long time, it felt good to have something to do that actually brought some normalcy back to life, so that they actually worked 3 days a week from 10 to 3 every day. And that helped us. And it was then accepted by our federal, both NIH, HRSA, and the other agencies that I had grant through, actually permitted us to work as a virtual center. So I didn't lose a single staff through that, and I was able to pay everybody their salary. But it was a tremendous loss. You know, and the other thing is knowing what to do and how to do it while in the midst of crisis, you know, gives everybody a sense of control and security that helps the recovery phase. So when we moved back into our space in February 2006, that was what we discovered, that our actions immediately after the storm actually had facilitated. Because when you come back, this is the beautiful waiting area that I just showed you, and there is only studs left. You don't quite know where to start and what to do. So we had to face a paradigm shift. The reality is this. You either evolve or go someplace else. This is a statement from Mrs. Sunda, Louisiana Small Business Development Center. And she continued, "It's a wonderful place for opportunity, but the name of the game is change." Honestly, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we had to do. And the whole point was how to get back on track, how to get back to do the things you know, were you going to do the things that you did before the way you did it before, or how did you need to modify? We have already heard a little about the STAND project and how that STAND project that was conceived after the storm, based on experience prior to the storm, had to completely change when we got into the community, because the community had changed and is still evolving. So we used a lot of formative research. Focus groups, key informant interviews. This is a picture of SAC. Rosenberg and Liz McCarty, that I just addressed their organization a little earlier, and talk to them, you know, what does your organization do? What do you need? What can we do to help you? What kind of resources can we, as an academic-based community health center, sounds like a schizophrenic place, but in a way that's what we bring. We have a lot of practical skills, particularly related to formative research, that actually can help our partners. So we did 30, 40 focus groups in different target areas. We did more than 130 key informant interviews with different community leaders and different community members, and that actually brought us back. And as written on this, together we can do it. And that's what we experienced. And that's how we then started moving on. So one of the things that's necessary is resilience, adaptation, and transformation. You have to be willing to do that, because we are actually doing community programming in an ever-changing post-disaster context. As you just heard from Diane Myers when she talked about how St. Anna's Church is now completely transformed compared to how it was before the storm, and how actually they are adapting and changing also based on new needs that are presented to them. And one of the key elements related to that is strategic planning. Every organization needs to take time on a regular basis for strategic planning. But after a cataclysm like the Hurricane Katrina, we actually really had to go back and think about who are we, what are we doing, and where are we going. But we couldn't do it right away, because we were too wounded, we were too occupied, rebuilding our own houses. I had 7 feet in my house, and the majority of the staff had actually lost their homes as well. So we had to let it get to go some time, because you have to be creative when you do strategic planning, and you are not creative when you are hurting. So we then went back and identified what are our pillars, what is it that really identify us as an organization, what is it that we want to be associated with, what is it that we want to take into the future. And we then all agreed that we wanted an ecological approach to health promotion, focusing on sharing, building, and empowering. And that is where we wanted to go, and that's what we did. So we then founded the center and grounded it around culture sensitivity, community development, and individual growth. So we are making sure that everyone that works with us also have a personal feeling of growth. We have students working with us. We make sure that they have a sense of growth. We had a presentation yesterday about the leadership development and training we do for community members. We also have associated with the STAND program and a strong emphasis on empowering and development of the women participating in that program. And we also work with the different community organizations to help them also grow. Plus, we have to do that ourselves as well. We are completely dependent upon our networks. We have presented some of our key partners. You also saw from Diane Meyer's long lists of her community partners. If I should justify our partners, you know, it would be many slides. So I'm just showing you a fractal here, showing you the importance of networks in order to rebuild and reclaim what you actually founded on. And flexibility. You've heard various examples of flexibility and the stress that when the unexpected happens, you have to be flexible or else you will die. Organizations cannot but change by the same things that change us as individuals. And I think that is one of the key messages we want you to take with you today, that you have to be willing to let the organization change. When it comes to resilience and flexibility, I appreciate this quote. Perhaps the most important variable in the survival equation is to the extent to which an owner or manager recognizes and adapts to changing circumstances. Those who are aware that things change after a disaster and that a community will never get back to normal, then quickly respond appropriately, can have an excellent chance of survival and long-term viability. And that's what we wanted to share with you, because you might not get a hurricane, but you could get something else. And you need to be aware of this for your own organization. You need to have a vision. You need to make sure that you actually focus on that. And here are some of the attitudes, you know. Avoid seeing problems as insurmountable. Accept that change is part of living. Move towards your goals. Take decisive actions. Accept opportunities to grow. Keep things in perspective. Maintain a hopeful outlook, and in the midst of everything, take care of yourself. So there is a new dawn in New Orleans. This is a picture how I see the river bend and Algiers points from my office. So we just want to thank you, and the last talk I will have the opportunity to introduce Shuka Ferramirez.